Where do you feel like you fall on your spouse's priority list? Ann Wilson says, if you feel like it's pretty far down the list, that can produce a bitterness that gets toxic.
This is where it starts with our attitude and our thoughts. And so I would remember thinking, like, if he would spend as much time caring about me as he cared about his Harley, that would be amazing. And then I would take that thought and I would just stuff it inside. And I would think, gosh, if he would get home in time to do the things I wanted to do instead of doing his thing, that would be nice. I'd take that thought. So I stuff myself with bitterness, with anger, with resentment, and it would almost leak into my life and it would make me numb. It's like it stole my heart and my feelings, and I would stuff it because I wanted to use it as ammunition later.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You'll find us online at familylifetoday.com. What does it look like in marriage for us to take bitter thoughts captive to make sure they don't become toxic? We're going to hear about that today from Dave and Ann Wilson. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us on the Friday edition on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you guys.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day.
What are you doing tonight, Bob? You going out?
We're all of us are together because today we're on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise.
You're gonna look out on the water.
We will have a special evening. I have a special evening planned for Marianne. I don't have it planned. I am planning a special evening. It's not completely planned yet. I'm looking at you. Ann was just talking here about you thinking about your Harley. You're wearing your Harley shirt in the studio today.
Do I have it on?
He does.
I do. I might have a few of these shirts, Bob. You know what HD for Harley Davidson stands for,
no.
Right? You don't know the joke?
No.
$100. You walk in that store, you buy a keychain, $100.
$100. It's
crazy.
All $100. But you've got a few of them, huh?
Not Harleys, but T-shirts.
So have Harleys been a big deal for him?
They have. He has a few things that are special to him.
Yeah.
His guitars.
Are we really going to talk about this? Is this what we're doing?
And his Harley.
Do you ride on the back of the Harley?
Yeah, I do.
And you like it?
I do like it. I trust him. He's a good driver.
Good.
I'm just laughing. I can't imagine what people are thinking. They have this image in their head of us in our biker gear, you know, my hair blowing in the wind. That's what it is.
On Valentine's night, if he says, here, get on the back of the Harley, would that be romantic?
Not in February in Michigan. That's not romantic.
Not going to happen.
Well, we do hope that you have special plans for tonight or for the weekend. If you're a married couple, an engaged couple, if you're dating, hope it's a lovely Valentine's Day for you. And we're talking about how to express love to one another in marriage without touching. And this is a message you guys gave on board the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise a couple of years ago. And you said the first way to do it, you use touch as an acronym, right?
Right.
And talk was the first point. And we've heard you talk about the importance of communication already. But as we pick up with the message, we're going to hear the O and the U and the C and the H of how to express romance in a marriage without touching.
All right, let's go to the O. We got to fly. For guys, here's what they want us to open up. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? I just put down this level 5, share your heart, be vulnerable.
Yes. For us as women, we long for you guys. We long to know what's going on inside. We want to know your hopes, your dreams, your fears. We want to know what you're thinking about stuff.
I mean, level 5 communication, if you've ever been to the weekend, remember we use a chart there. Level 1 is like cliche. It doesn't mean anything. But you get down to level 5. Level 5 means I'm sharing my heart. I'm being vulnerable. And I have discovered that makes Anne feel loved. Mm. When I share with her my fears, my weaknesses, the things I'm struggling with, rather than hiding that. I don't share that with any other woman on the planet. That's wrong and inappropriate. But I've learned over the years, man, when I go there with her, it makes her feel loved without touch.
Hmm.
Now, here's the O for men.
You like this, don't you?
I like this one. Go ahead. You need to say this
out loud.
Here's
the O for men. Offer yourselves. Women, offer yourselves.
Yeah, man, you can cheer. It's just what you think. Offer yourself sexually, okay? That's what it means.
And
we put it in there. Initiate sometimes. It's all about respect. I want you over I love you. It's more important to a man. Am I right? We'd rather feel wanted than loved. Don't even give us love cards. We could care less. We throw them in the trash. You give us I want you cards or respect cards, we save those. Am I right, guys? It's like those are in a file right there. Look at that one. She wrote, I want you.
And here's the thing that I've realized. For Dave, that makes him a better man. Like when he feels like, I said to him one time, tell me the top three phrases I can say to you. He said,
you don't need to tell him that. Come
no,
on.
No, no, no. When oh. When you said, like, I want you, number one, I need you, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Ask your guys that. What means the most to your guys? And so I thought, oh my gosh, I may not feel like this. I may not, but I need to be intentional about this.
Yeah, and I don't think women really, wives really understand how important this area is to a man in the area of respect. We tend to think it's just, you know, it's a need. He has a need, and so I just have to. No, no, no. It's so much bigger than that for a man. It is tied to our respect. When I feel like, and I'm not saying you initiate every day, but every once in a while when Ann brings this up. I mean, one day I'm a pastor at a church, right? I have 250 staff. We're at a meeting and I'm leading and I'm praying and God wants us to take this thing and cast all his vision. And while I'm doing that, I'm not getting all these staff are like leaning in and here's where we're going and God's going to do this. And I look down at my iPad and a little text comes in and it's from Anna. It says, get ready, baby. I'm like, nobody knows but me. And I'm like, okay, we're done. See ya. Give God the glory. I'm running home, you know. I mean, just that text from her was saying, I'm offering myself to you. It was unbelievable. One time, some of you ladies just sent your man a text right now, didn't you? So one time I was doing a chapel service for the Lions. We have chapel on Saturday night in the hotel where we're if we're at home, we're still in a hotel or on the road. And so it was my birthday. This was 20 years ago, I don't know. So it's my birthday, I get up to speak. I'm 5 minutes into the message, one of our players walked in late and he hands me an envelope that says, Dave Wilson, open immediately.
It says, emergency,
yeah.
Open immediately.
Well, I was in the middle of my thing, so I just put it down, I keep going, and Luther, the player, came in and goes, dude, no, you gotta open it right now. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. So I open it up, and I do not know to this day why I read this out loud. I do not know. I just, you know, I thought my boys are, you know, somebody, I just ripped it open real quick and it said, hey, big boy, I'm up in room 2027. Wait.
Seriously. Who reads it out loud? I just thought, I wanted him to have it so he'd be totally shocked.
Oh my gosh.
Not ever, ever thinking he'd read it out loud.
When I closed the thing, the whole lock, they're like, you know. And so I said, you know, I mean, there's like 40 guys there getting ready to play a game, right? And I said, hey, guys, when you go to meetings, guess where I'm going? You know, and I'm not kidding. Bobby Ross was our head coach. He's a military guy. I don't think I ever heard him say the word sex out loud. He's in the back of the room. He goes, Dave, go ahead. We'll take it for here. And I'm like, see ya. And I ran out. And that was it. And I mean, I still run into guys from that team, and that's all they remember of all the spiritual things I ever did. It was like, oh my gosh, there's a marriage that's still in love with touch, right? So anyway, we got to keep going. So we got the T and the O. Now we're going to the U for women. What women want, you before me. I know it's a sort of a strange way to say it, but it's the guy saying you are more important than me. It's a selfless act to say, you matter the most. I'm here to serve you as I serve Christ, not the other way around.
And I think this has been really hard for us, to be honest. I have felt a lot of times like everything else is more important than me. I feel like at times Dave's job's more important, his multiple jobs. And I feel like I'm kind of the last thought. And so even I would sometimes call him and say, honey, are you on your way home? Yeah. I said, hey, could you just stop and pick up some hamburger? And here is notoriously what Dave would say. He'd always come back with a question. Now, what do you want me to do? And then here's what I would say every time. Forget it. I'll just do it myself. Because for me, it was saying no.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to be like all the time and energy I put into my work and all the people and all that, I want to put that into you. That makes me feel loved. That, for me, says, I love you. You're the most important thing.
Yeah, I actually put in there, you know, kick it in when you get home. It's so easy for me when I get home, I'm exhausted, I just want to just relax. And it's like, no, that's my real job. I even put a drop-off point. I heard a guy tell me years ago, and it's like, on your way home, it's like, I'm taking my job and I'm putting it there. I had a mailbox on a road on the way home, just visually putting my job there, picking up my real job. Most important job in my life is to love her, and to lead my boys, right? That was it. And so I had to change my whole mentality. It's like, it's not about me. It's about her. It's about him. And it had to be selfless to go home. I actually wrote down there vacuum, Because I heard a woman say this once, when he turns on the vacuum cleaner, that's foreplay. So I'm like, I'll put it in there. Because it's like, what does that mean? When he serves me,
yes. You
before me, it was telling her that's like a turn on, you know? It's like, so again, I'm not going to hear a bunch of vacuum cleaners turning on tonight in your rooms, but it was just that picture of you before me. And obviously this comes from Ephesians 5:25. Men, I hope you know this. As Christ loved the church, so we will love our wives. What's that mean? Self-denial. Die. We get married to die to ourselves, to live unto Christ, and to live unto our wife. And so then it's interesting. If you go over to the other side, what do men want? Guess what the you is?
Same thing.
Exact same thing.
And here, have you ever done this as a woman, especially when your kids are on the home? It's almost like they become more important, your job is more important, and then your husband gets the last of you too. My dad came to visit us one time, and he was just observing some things. He didn't live in our state. And we were eating dinner, and he looks at me and he goes, "Man, it must be nice to be your kids." And I thought that was a real compliment. I'm like, "Wow, I think it probably is. Thanks." He goes, "Too bad you don't treat Dave as well as you treat them."
And I was sitting there, I'm like, "Yeah, this is awesome." I mean, I didn't know he was going to say that.
I was like, okay, I was so defensive, and when I went home that night in bed, I thought, "God, is that true? If that is true, I pray that you'd confirm it." That next week, my dad sends me the first letter I had ever received in my life. It's from him, and it's a Dear Abby article of a man leaving his wife because the children came before him. That was the confirmation, and so I realized, like, for Dave to feel like respected, I need to make sure that he feels like he matters and he's a priority to me too.
And here's the truth: Kevin said it last night. Love and/or respect is not a feeling.
Yes.
It's a choice. Selfishness is our DNA. It's sin nature. It's natural. Selflessness is not natural. You have to choose it. You're not going to feel it. You have to choose it. So whether it's the guy putting her before him or the gal putting her, it's the same either
and
way.
Here's what I feel like. I want Dave to feel like he knows how much God loves him by the way I treat him.
Yep.
And let me tell you, that is not happening at most of the time, I would say. But wouldn't that be awesome that Dave feels like, I know how much God loves me by the way Ann loves me.
All right, let's go to the C. Ann and I do a thing around the country called Rock Your Marriage, and it's these two C's. We define love with the C word for women is cherish. Because the love word is confusing. We don't even know what it means. I mean, people in Detroit say, "I love the Detroit Lions." No, you don't. You know, it's like, "I love ice cream." Do you really? No. But cherish, guys get. Because we cherish things. I have a couple guitars at home. You're not touching them, right? You protect things you cherish. You polish things you cherish. You show off things you cherish. And so I think women want to be cherished more than they actually want to be loved. It's like, priority number one, you care for her, you know her, you protect her, you show her off. And it isn't just that you think she's beautiful, you think she's valuable. That equals cherished or loved. Beautiful plus valuable equals loved. And it's like everything else in my life can be more important than Anne. She's not feeling cherished. It's like other things make her feel cherished,
and
right?
And I think what happens for us as women is we notice that. If I feel like Dave's job is more important, I can start in my head. And I start, because this is where it starts with our attitude and our thoughts. And so I would remember thinking, like, if he would spend as much time caring about me as he cared about his Harley, that would be amazing. And then I would take that thought and I would just stuff it inside. And I would think, gosh, if he would get home in time to do the things I wanted to do instead of doing his thing, that would be nice. I'd take that thought. So I had to, like, stuff myself with bitterness, with anger, with resentment, and then I would have this unforgiving heart, and it would almost leak into my life, and it would make me numb. It's like it stole my heart and my feelings, and I would stuff it because I wanted to use it as ammunition later. When he hurt me, I would take it out and I would accuse him of all these things. And Dave didn't even know what to do with that.
And all I know is I've learned and I'm still learning, she longs to be cherished. And when she knows there's nothing more important in my life, but to her, she feels love. Am I right, women? That's it. That is her number one love language. Jesus is it, and you're next. And it isn't my job and all these other things. It is you. That's cherished. And then for the guy, it's cheer. You know, what's respect mean? It means I cheer you. I brag about you. I speak life into you. I stop criticizing you. I'm not your mom. No guy wants to marry his mom. right? We don't want that. We had enough of that. Please respect me enough to not tell me everything I need to do. Cheer minus critique equals respect. We shared that story last year about how I felt she booed me. That's where that whole thing comes on. It's like I walk in the house and felt like everybody else cheered me, but she was booing me, and now she doesn't do that anymore to me. She really doesn't. She affirms me. You thank me. You respect me. It's unbelievable. I don't even deserve it. It's like, you are the amazing guy. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not. You know, and yet I've watched over the years, and women, you need to understand this. When she would say, I'm this guy, and I sort of thought I'm this guy, I started to become that guy she said I was. And women don't think that's how it works. If I say that, it's like I'm lying, and then he'll think he's that guy and he'll never get there. No, it's the opposite with men and boys. It's like when you believe in us, we rise up to it. Hmm. And again, I'm not saying I'm an amazing guy, but I am a better man today because she believed I was already that man.
You are better.
Yeah, I am.
You're amazing.
Aren't I? It's Valentine's
Yes.
Day. Yeah, that's good.
Yes, you are.
All right, we're done. We're done. We got to go.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Turn on the vacuum cleaner right now. All right. Last one, and we're out of time, so we gotta say this. For her to, what a woman wants is to be held. Am I right? And it's sort of a way to say affection, non-sexual, it's romance. Just
yes.
To touch her. Anna has told me so many times.
Pursue us. Keep pursuing us. Be affectionate with us. Hold our hand. Put your arm around us. We love that. And
she's told me a million times, right there. Don't move, just right there. Hold it right there. That's non-sexual. It's just like there's no agenda here but to cherish and hold her and love her.
And so ask your wives, what would it look like for me to pursue you?
And then for the guys, it's help him. Hmm. It's that simple. He needs a partner. I always say this in my church a lot. Men have lats. You're like, lats? Yeah, of course they do. No, they're lonely, angry, tired, stressed. Be his partner. Help him carry the things he's carrying. And so here's the last thing we're going to say. To be able to do that, because we can tell you, okay, go do it.
Yeah.
Touch her, touch him, and you know what touch now means. It doesn't mean literally touch her. It means talk and open up, right? You could try and go out of here and do that like it'll never work. You know why? Because you and I don't have the power to do any of this. We can do it for a moment, but we can't sustain it. Why? Because we need the power of God to do it. We try to find life in our marriages horizontally from our spouse. And guess what? We all end up disappointed. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you're like, oh my gosh, he's not giving me what I thought. And it is. And here's what most people think. I married the wrong person. I got to find the right one. And then they're looking in the wrong place. You look vertical. When you go vertical and find life from Christ, he fills you up. And then you can come to your marriage to give rather than take. You don't need her to respect you. You don't need him to cherish you. It'd be nice, but that isn't where you're getting life. You're getting that from an unconditional God who gives it through your relationship with Christ, and then it overflows. So here's the last thing I'll give you a visual, because here's how most of us live. It's like, if you want to live out the Christian life and you want to go live this thing, Anne's going to pretend like this is what happens. When you come to Christ, he fills you up with the Holy Spirit. Got it? Right? And so it's beautiful. It's pure, and everything's awesome, right? So, but that isn't how life works. You start in your marriage, you get a little sin in your life. I went to the guy burger joint and stole these today. I'm going to take them back. All right, I got a little Tabasco, you know, and you got sin in your life and you've got anger in your life. By the way, Ann's going to drink this in a minute. You've got
resentment.
You know, you got a little ketchup in there, little mustard in there. Now, look at that. That's what a lot of people think the Christian life is right there. And they even think that's what Christian marriage is. Like, I thought it was this beautiful, pure thing, and now it's not like this. So how do we clean this up? If I said, okay, just go love your wife, respect your husband, it'll work. It won't work. And so it's really interesting. Remember I said Ephesians 5? Paul said, be imitators of Christ. How do you do that? Be filled with the Spirit. Here's literally what he said. Don't get drunk on wine because that's a waste of time, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you know that. It's really interesting, the comparison, drunk on wine. Why does he use that comparison? Because when you're drunk on wine, what controls you? The wine or the alcohol in the wine. He says, but don't do that, it's a waste of time. Be filled or drunk with the Holy Spirit. And the word filled in the original Greek actually means keep being filled over and over. It's not a one-time thing, it's daily. Keep going back to God to fill you, to replace the sin and the junk in your life and fill you. So it's like you come back to Christ and this isn't one time, this is over and over. Watch what happens. When you get filled by the Holy Spirit of God, that's what happens, right? I mean, it's like, that's what it's supposed to look like. And so when you drink this, It's like crazy, right? Now, here's the thing about Christian marriage. You know why we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Because we're supposed to take our marriage and show the world what it's like. So it's like, we're supposed to be like that. Right? We're supposed to be contagious, right? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's supposed to get over our neighborhood. Am I right? You want some more?
No.
Okay, enough of that. You don't need that. But that's what it's supposed to look like. It's like, oh my gosh, God fills us together with a power we don't have to love her, to respect him in a way we can never do it, right?
Yes.
So that's how it works. It'll never happen any other way. So last thing I'll say, and we're done. Only action step we got for you tonight, before you crawl in your bed, and this is obviously totally up to you, we would implore you, get on your knees and surrender again. We did on our wedding night. We did, many of you know, on our 10-year anniversary when she said she had lost her feelings for me. The only chance you and I have is Jesus. So surrender. When you surrender, you're saying, fill me. Fill me with the power I do not have to be the man and woman we can't be apart from you. Jesus, I pray for these couples that they would allow you to fill them over and over again, to be the men and women, the husbands and wives, the moms and dads that will literally change the world by spreading the contagious spirit of God in them and through them to impact the world for Jesus Christ. That's why you gave us marriage, to make your name known through our marriage. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right, we're listening again to a fired up Dave and Ann Wilson. You were fired up.
I guess I was.
He was preaching.
It was kind of like locker room game time. Let's go. Let's take the field. Let's win this one, right?
It was. I did not think I was going to spit water all over the crowd, but...
Some things just come to you in the moment.
And I don't know if that's good or bad.
Are there some things that come to you in the moment and later you go,
oh, yeah,
I wish that hadn't come to me in that.
Oh, yeah. That's why I like that we can edit in the studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the point that you're making here about the importance of relational intimacy for a husband and wife to try to be one without being relationally intimate with one another. These 5 points, the touch, the talking and the holding and the cheering on and cherishing, all of the things that you unpacked here, this is the glue that holds a marriage together, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I think we underestimate the power of a strong marriage, of how contagious that is.
Yeah.
We were just doing a family life conference not too long ago, Weekend to Remember, and I was forgetting the hurt in the room, how people are desperate for answers and hope and help, and it really does come from Jesus.
That was obviously a conscious decision to say the only way to end this talk is not, we don't want couples walking out like, I'm going to try harder.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to hold her and I'm going to cheer him. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's important. Those are practical steps. But if you don't have the Spirit of God giving you power to do things you really can't sustain, mm-hmm. good luck. But with God and with Jesus at the center of this thing, oh my goodness, he can literally, and I'm not using literally wrong here, he can literally transform you.
Yeah.
And then you're a transformer of others.
You guys have written about this in your book, Vertical Marriage, which is also now a small group video series that we've got here at Family Life Today. Our listeners can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, to find out more about both the book and the video series. This week, we're making copies of this book available to any of our listeners who can help with a donation to support the Ministry of Family Life Today. Your donations are what make this daily radio program possible for you and for your friends and for your neighbors and for people who are listening all around the world, people who are downloading this as a podcast, people who are telling Alexa to play Family Life Today. There are more people who are engaging with us in more different ways than ever before, and you make that possible when you support this ministry. And so if you're able to make a donation today, we'd like to say thank you by sending you a copy of Dave and Ann Wilson's book, Vertical Marriage, as our thank you gift for your support. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to donate at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, our website is familylifetoday.com. You can call to donate at 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Again, if you have any questions about the Vertical Marriage video series, you'll find information online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call with any questions or to order by phone at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Now, let me ask you to be joining us and praying for thousands of couples who are going to be with us this weekend, Valentine's weekend, for one of our Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways. We have couples joining us in Appleton, Wisconsin, Charlotte, North Carolina, Colorado Springs, Hershey, Pennsylvania, Hilton Head, South Carolina, Montgomery, Alabama, Napa, California, Norfolk, Virginia, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. So pray for those couples who will be at one of our getaways this weekend. And thanks to those of you, again, who support the ministry. You make these getaways possible, and God does a great work in the lives of couples who show up for these events. So be praying for them, will you? And we hope you have a great weekend, too. We hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us back on Monday. Ron Deal is going to be here with Dr. Gary Chapman. Of course, for years, Dr. Chapman has written about the five love languages. Ron and Gary have just written a new book about how the five love languages work out in a blended family. And we're going to talk about that Monday, so I hope you can join us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. A crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.